This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know, like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed. And the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 674. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 674. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more positive, powerful, and purposeful lives every damn day. One of the best things about the Shameless Mom Academy is our community, so be sure to join us in our free private Facebook group to connect with other shameless moms just like you. You can find us over at shamelessmom.com/Facebook. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Hello, shameless moms. Happy Monday. I hope that you are enjoying the sun wherever you are today in this August weather. Some of you might have kids back in school already. I saw a few posts of kids who went back in July. This is a new thing for me. I was unaware that there are some schools that now go back to school in July that are not in, doing like a year-round school model. So if your summer's over, I hope you're still enjoying some sun today. So I'm happy to be here as always, and I am going to talk today about the loss of a complicated parent, navigating the loss of a complicated parent. And a couple things about this episode. First of all, content warning, I'm going to be talking about the death of my father. And if that's like too close to home for you, this might be an episode that you want to skip and or save for another time. It's completely fine. I also want to share that I sat trying to figure out a title for this episode for quite some time, and I landed on Navigating the Loss of a Complicated Parent, and then immediately was like, well, that's a stupid title because every parent is complicated because every human is complicated. But what I mean by this is navigating the loss when you have a complicated relationship with a parent. So we're going to be digging into that. We're going to be digging into navigating the loss of a parent when that relationship has just become really complicated, or maybe has always been really complicated, because that's definitely the case for me, has been that the relationship with my dad has gotten really complicated in the last 10 years. And I've talked about it. I've referenced it a few times on the show, but I haven't talked about it in great detail. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I also have in front of me a page of notes that is completely blank except for a title. Because I've sat down to put notes on paper about this episode so many times, and I just couldn't figure out the right starting point, and I couldn't figure out a sense of direction, and I just felt like this is something I just need to start talking about, and I feel like it will come to me, and I don't very often do that with an episode. I often have a little bit of an outline, just a few notes to kind of guide me. And I don't have that this time. I do have a couple things I've shared on Facebook that I'm going to share here that are kind of have been insightful moments that I've shared on social media that I think will help guide the conversation. But beyond that, I'm going to be kind of just going with the flow with my stream of consciousness. And I will try to stay on task, which I'm not always great at. But what I wanted to do with this episode was kind of just walk you through where I've been, where I'm at, where I'm headed, with a really specific intention of sharing from a place of wanting to help people see how different relationships can be with parents and how all of that can be okay. One of the things that's happened since my father passed away is that I've gotten so many messages. So thank you so much for all the messages. Oh my goodness. Private messages and text messages and phone calls and flowers and comments on social media, on every social media platform. And it's been incredibly lovely and thoughtful and generous and kind. And it's been really affirming in so many ways. So thank you. I feel the love in such big, huge, tremendous ways. But what's been really interesting is how many people have said that they relate to my relationship with my dad in different ways. And people who I thought I knew pretty well and people whose lives I had thought I already had a glimpse into. And I was like, wow, I had no idea that you had a complicated relationship with a parent. And so I thought it would be helpful if I recorded this episode for people to kind of just see what it can be like on the inside of one of those relationships, because I think it is more relatable than we all assume. It's definitely more relatable than I assumed, because so many people found some of the things I've shared to be relatable. And a lot of times those were people that I didn't think would be able to relate to the things that I shared. So I think I'm going to start back about 10 years ago. And I guess I should start even before that. So for the first 37 years or so of my life, until about 10 years ago, I had a pretty decent relationship with my dad. My parents divorced when I was 4. It was a really amicable divorce. My parents never pitted one another against each other. My dad didn't spend a ton of time with my sister and me, but like if I called him, he picked up the phone. If I asked him to be somewhere or do something, he typically said yes. He wasn't always able to be the best father figure, but he was always like a good friend that I had in my corner. He didn't know how to parent per se. And some of that was because his dad died when he was really little. His dad died when he was 2. His mom was sick for a lot of his life. She died when I was 1, I believe. So he didn't have really traditional role models for parenting. And I think that that made it a little more tricky for him. I also think that my parents got divorced in like 1979. And divorce just looked really different then. And so like expectations for dads and like what the model of divorce looked like was so different than it is now. Like there was no such thing as co-parenting. It was like the mom did 95% of the parenting and dad saw their kids every other weekends and maybe like on Wednesdays for dinner or something. And that was never the model that we had. But we did see my dad from time to time on the weekends and we always had fun with him and he loved to goof around with us. And I was talking with my mom about this recently and my sister about how when we did see him, I think we were just like so eager to make him laugh and make it fun that I think my sister and I probably just drove him absolutely crazy. I think we just like harassed him and just were like attention seeking and annoying. I remember him picking us up to go to the, anytime we would go to his house for the weekend, he would pick us up and we would go to the grocery store because he probably didn't ever have food to feed us in his house. He like never had kid food probably unless we went to the store with him. So we would always go to the grocery store. And I remember like trying to like run and hide from him in the grocery store being like, I was probably like 8. So my sister would have been 5. And you all know how obnoxious that is. Like to have like your 8-year-old and 5-year-old trying to play hide and seek in the grocery store when you're just like, come on, like it's Friday night at 6:00. Can we just get some macaroni and cheese and go home? So I can empathize a bit with like, we must have been so obnoxious to him. And he totally took it like a champ. He would laugh it off and he was really patient with us. And I have, while those memories, they were not frequent, they were positive. So we maintained a decent relationship throughout my growing up, throughout high school, college, and into my marriage. And there were bumps here and there, and we weren't in a ton of contact, but it was positive when we were in contact for the most part. I always like wanted him to take more initiative in our relationship, and that was always kind of, there was always a little bit of a rift between us where I felt like I had missed out on that, of like a dad who really just was like eager and jumping in to get involved. It was more like I had to ask for him to get involved, but then he usually would say yes, and it was usually great. And so that's kind of how our relationship was. Before I got pregnant with Vinny, and while I was pregnant with Vinny, so this would have been in 2011, 2012. Increasingly, when we spent time together, it was difficult because his values were increasingly different than mine in a way that made it hard to stay in positive conversation. And so, for context, this was when Barack Obama was president, and I was like I thought Obama was great, but I wasn't like a super fan, and I certainly was not like needing to talk about, like, I talk about politics way more now than I did back then. So I was just like, yeah, this is great. Like, Obama, great guy. I liked his politics. I certainly voted for him. I thought it was fantastic that he was in office. I thought he was a great leader, but it was never like what I needed to talk about in every conversation. My dad, on the other hand, increasingly did need to talk about how horrible Obama was in every conversation. And it just became this like annoying component of our relationship. And I would come home from spending time with him. I remember we would go to lunch on every few months we would go to lunch together. He worked fairly close to my house. And I would come home from those lunches and tell my husband, like, oh my God, he just like complained about Obama the whole time. And I would kind of like laugh about it, like it was kind of annoying, but it was increasingly difficult to be around. And I would be like, okay, Dad, like, can we talk about something else? And it was just increasingly difficult to find other things to talk about. And conversations around so many things always seemed to navigate back, or he seemed to guide them back to that, which became increasingly frustrating to me. I remember he told me in one of our last conversations together, I was probably pregnant with Vinny at this point, and we were eating lunch, and he's like, well, you know, since you're a successful business owner now, you basically have to be a Republican, because business owners are Republicans because of like the way that you are going to be like more conservative with your money, because if you're making your own money, you're going to want to keep your own money and blah, blah, blah. And he launched into this like whole thing that now I was a successful business owner and was going to have to like become a Republican because of it. And I was like, I can't. I cannot with this conversation. I just want to like hang out and have lunch. And so again, I came home. I remember telling my husband, like, oh my God, so annoying. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert, Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, and they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing. I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter the code shameless at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use the code shameless, S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S, aquatrue.com, code shameless. When Vinny was born, I didn't see him right away. And I had seen him during my pregnancy multiple times, and we had had lunch and it was fine. I mean, aside from this annoying political conversation, but I was really, really surprised that he was not eager to come meet Vinny right away. So when Vinny was about a month old, he finally came over, met Vinny for a really brief amount of time. It was a kind of an awkward meeting. I thought he would be really excited. He came in, he was like, oh, I can only stay for a few minutes. It's a really busy day at work, which was just like a very weird way to meet your firstborn's first child, to be like, I only have 10 minutes. But that was kind of what it was. It was just a very strange meeting. After that, he tried to get together with me a few times for lunch and with very short notice, and I just wasn't able to do it. If many of you know, Vinny and I both had health complications, especially in those first 6 months. So I would say like, Dad, I can't, when you text me 30 minutes beforehand to say like, hey, can you do lunch in a half hour? I'm not able to do that when I have this newborn. And we just slowly stopped communicating as much. As that was happening on social media, he was just becoming more and more really horrifically offensive in so many ways. And probably any way that you can imagine a parent being offensive on social media, he was probably being offensive in all those ways. So I finally had to say, like, I can't have a relationship with you on social media. It's really not good for my mental health. I would love to have a relationship with you outside of social media. The ball's in your court. I would love for you to have a relationship with Vinny. At this point, Vinny was a few years old, and we had really just like not communicated much at all. So I sent him this message and saying, like, if you'd like to have a relationship with us outside of social media, I'm totally here for it. The door's wide open. I'll leave the ball in your court. And I never heard from him again. So that was really, really complicated for me to process, because it is unfathomable to me that a parent would just like never talk to a child again within that context, to just be like, oh, well, you don't want to be my friend on Facebook. I guess I'm never going to speak to you again. And that's pretty much what happened. And it's a very strange thing. And I tried in a couple different ways to get back in contact at different times. And it didn't work. He was absolutely like, would not communicate with me. I tried to have conversations with his wife about it, who was always so lovely. And it just, nothing went anywhere. So I had to do a lot of processing on the loss of that relationship without having any closure around it. And that was really, really hard, because I kept not knowing. I was like, maybe he'll change his mind, or maybe he'll come back into my life, or maybe, maybe, maybe. And I also kept saying to myself and to his wife on the few times that we communicated, the door's always open, the door's always open. And it became really clear to me a year and a half ago, maybe, the door was not going to be open anymore. And so I was kind of thinking that it seemed not the right mental space for me to be in, to think like the door's always open. But he reached out to me. So he had not had any communication with me since I sent this message that I shared a few minutes ago. He reached out on my professional Shameless Mom Academy page about a year and a half ago and just totally slammed something I put up as a post. A post, by the way, that was written for all of you, written for all the shameless moms. And my dad decides to come in and like completely yell at me about local politics in Seattle in a post that was about, and I don't even remember what the post was about, but it was like not at all about politics. Oh, the post was like saying like, I'm really tired because of the pandemic. Like I'm really tired from this and that. Like moms are just really tired right now. And he turned it into like this thing about Seattle politics. And I had literally had no communication with him since Vinny was like 2 or 3 years old. So this would have been at the time Vinny was probably 8, 8 and a half. And it was stunning. It was a stunning and very defining moment. And I was like, oh, hell no. The door is closed. Like, you don't get to have no choose. You don't get to opt out of all communication and then come to my place of business and say something irrelevant, inappropriate. Like, you were not invited into the Shameless Mom Academy and you are not welcome here. And so I, at that point, was just like, the door is closed. The door is closed. If this is how you choose to reach out to me after not communicating with me in many years, I have no space for this relationship. And with that, while that was like, again, complicated, I was actually really grateful. And I remember talking to my therapist and I said, it's so clear to me. I had for so long been like, I should keep the door open and maybe I should try to reach out this way and maybe I should try this and that and the other thing. And I just had run circles around myself over and over trying to figure out like, maybe if I work the right angle, we could actually have a relationship. And when he showed himself in that way, I was like, absolutely not. We are so far from being able to align on anything at this point that I have no interest in having a relationship. So I kind of felt like that was a gift. It felt like I didn't have to make a big decision. I didn't have to keep trying to like run in circles, figuring out like a new way to try to like, maybe if I try this, like something would be different. I could just really clearly be like, nope, we're done. And that actually felt like closure to me. And so since then, I've had a lot of peace around not having a relationship with someone who is just not able to be in a reciprocal relationship at all. When I found out that he died, I was not sure what to expect emotionally after that. So he passed away a couple weeks ago, quickly, really unexpectedly, had a heart attack at home. And my sister called me, and shout out to my sister who's had to do some, like, play the middleman here, the middlewoman in navigating some of this. She called me, she told me what happened. I was not emotional in the moment. My sister was emotional, which made that piece made me emotional, but I was like, I didn't have a lot of emotions about him being gone. And in the few days after that, I was kind of like, I don't know how to feel about this. I didn't feel particularly sad. I didn't feel a huge sense of loss. I felt a little bit of peace. I felt a little bit of relief. Like, I don't have to worry and wonder if that relationship's ever going to shift or evolve or change again. One of the things that had started happening in the last couple of years is I had started thinking that I was seeing my dad in different places. And so this actually happened once in the last year at the airport. I was in the Alaska Airlines lounge and I thought I saw him and I like panicked and I was like, oh my God, that's him over there. Do I go say something? I don't know what to do. And I talked to my therapist about it afterwards and I was like, I don't know. It wasn't him as it turned out, but I was like, I don't know what I would say if I saw him. And she was like, I think you should think about that. Like, what would you say and why would you say it? And I was like, I just don't know. Like, I don't know what I would say. And it was bothersome to me that I didn't know. And then I had, in other contexts, would be driving down the street and be like, oh my gosh, that guy walking down the street looks like him. Or I'd be in a grocery store. Just, I started having it happened pretty routinely. Like once a month, I'd be somewhere and see someone and be like, that could be him. Or that looks so much like him. And what if it was? And what would I say? And so after he passed away, I kind of immediately had this like, oh my gosh, like I don't feel like he could be anywhere at any time. And there was actually some relief and peace that came with that.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
As I was processing his passing, I went to his Facebook page to see what other people were saying about him. So I had blocked him on Facebook quite a while ago. I didn't want to see his stuff, and I didn't want him seeing my stuff. He, for a really long time, had, I believe, perceived our relationship to be healthy because he followed my stuff on Facebook and liked and commented on it from time to time. So this would have been in Vinny's really early years, from the time Vinny was like one to the time we stopped talking when he was two or three. He would routinely comment on things and like my posts. And I think that he thought that was like a full-fledged relationship. And that was really hurtful to me. I was like, you're making no effort to be in a relationship except for to like my Facebook posts, which is just weird. That's not actually a relationship. So I had blocked him. Also, I didn't want to see his stuff. It was like so offensive. I had told him I was blocking him. It wasn't like any secret. So I blocked him. And after he passed away, I wanted to see what other people were saying. So I went to his Facebook page to see what other people were saying. And I knew that he was really well connected. And he had a lot of people who really admired him for various reasons. And people who'd worked with him in all sorts of different areas and fields of work for many years. And it was actually really, really awesome to see him through other people's eyes, because I got to remember these great things about him that I knew about him before 10 years ago, that were really clear about him before 10 years ago. And I had forgotten those things because of all of our own junk. And it was really great to hear how special he was to other people. And I didn't feel like jealous or like, oh, they got the best parts of him or anything like that. I was just like, oh yeah, he had that in him. And I remember that about him. And that felt really good to remember those things. So people remembered him from being this really incredible mentor. He was a mentor in many ways. He was in one career for over 25 years working for the state of Washington. And then he had, during that time and after that time, worked at the University of Washington teaching. He was a really thoughtful teacher. People really talked about what a trusted colleague he was. He worked in safety for the state of Washington. So a lot of safety on big construction projects and things like that. And people just talked about how they always felt so safe when he was on site and how he saw things other people didn't see. And he was actually really innovative around safety, which was really cool and paved the way for a lot of the way things were done in our state. People talked about him being this like wisecracking, smartass friend, which he definitely was. People talked about how he could walk into any room and speak to anyone and make other people feel comfortable when they were around him. And I remember that. I remember whenever we would go out to dinner with him, my sister and I would be so embarrassed because he would talk to everyone. And it was like, he would make friends with just anyone walking by the table. And I was like, oh my God, so weird and embarrassing. But you know what I do now? I make friends with like any child. Ask the people at Trader Joe's. I'm like, I will make friends with the people in front of me in line, the people behind me in line, the people checking me out, the people with helping with the bags, like the security person at the door. I'll make friends with anyone in public. I got that from him. People also thanked him on his Facebook page for the way that he greeted them every day. That like, I saw Al every day and he always greeted me with a smile and easy, fun conversation. He was so trustworthy in a job that required a lot of accuracy and intention and precision. People really, really trusted him. And so it was really awesome to hear all these things about him. And as I was reading all this, I was like, oh my gosh, there are so many things in there that people would say about me, I think. And I don't say that from like a huge place of ego as much to say like I got some of my greatest skills around mentorship and teaching and connecting with other people and making space for other people and helping people feel comfortable. I got that from him for sure. And as I was reading all of these things, I was like, oh my gosh, I got the best parts of him. And that felt really good. I was able to just feel so much gratitude around that. The night that he died, as I was walking upstairs to go to bed, I had this like visceral feeling, literally on my like third or fourth stair up the staircase, of just literally feeling like the bullshit like washing off my body, just coming off of me, these complicated layers just evaporating. Like the last 10 years did not matter. And I could really feel him with me and smiling and proud and really being the feeling like he was with me the same way he was for the first 37 years of my life. Like the last 10 years, we could both acknowledge like that was a lot of bullshit. We're both really stubborn. There was a lot of bullshit in there and we've both decided to let it go. And that felt like just a huge amount of peace. So I don't have regrets in our relationship. And I think that some people might think I should have regrets, or maybe other people would have regrets if a parent died and you hadn't really had closure and hadn't had much communication in 10 years. But I don't have regrets. I have a lot of gratitude. I'm grateful for the ways that he challenged me to own my truth and stand in my truth, even though that did come at the cost of our relationship. I'm grateful for the therapy that I went through that really allowed me to process so much of this and have peace around this relationship before he passed away, because I'm not feeling like I have to do that now in a really heightened emotional state. And I'm also just so incredibly grateful that I feel like he's back by my side. I feel like he's just back by my side cheering for me, which is something I haven't felt in 10 years. And I was laughing as I was talking about this on Facebook the other day, because he always gave me a hard time for being his bleeding heart liberal daughter. And until I was 37 or so, I felt like that was a little tongue in cheek. And then it started to feel like it was mean and like that wasn't a good thing. And like that was like meant to hurt me, to call me, like it was like name calling. And now I'm like, oh no, I know he's beside me cheering for me, being like, you go do your thing. I got you. I don't agree with you and I might be giving you a hard time sometimes, but like you go do your thing. So that feels really, really good. After my sister called and told me about his passing, it became like immediately after I got off the phone with her, I started thinking, what was I doing right when he passed away? I needed to know, like, what was I doing in that moment? And so she had called me. It was a Wednesday night. She had called me at like 7:40 p.m. And she was like, Dad died about an hour ago. And so when we got done talking, I stopped and was just like, okay, an hour ago, like, what was I doing? What exact moment in time did it happen? And what was I doing at that exact moment in time? And so I was swimming. I was swimming at Green Lake. I was doing a training workout for my upcoming triathlon that I'm doing in September. And I had done this really quiet, peaceful swim. And I have felt some nerves around swimming for this triathlon because open water swimming can be nerve-wracking. And if you haven't done it in 18 years, as is the case with me, it feels a little vulnerable. And it's a harder thing to practice because you just don't know what the conditions are going to be like the day of. Every course is different. There's nerves around it. But I had this really peaceful swim and I got out of the water and I was like, I totally got this. I'm going to be fine. I'm completely qualified. And that swim was a piece where I was like, I don't know if I can get it back. I don't know if I can feel like I felt in the water 18 years ago. And on that swim in particular, I was like, I got this. I'll be fine for this race. And what I love about that is that I qualified myself in that moment for this upcoming event. And I was thinking about how my dad challenged himself throughout the course of his life to do things that he wasn't necessarily qualified for. So I love that in the moment that he left this earth, I was doing something to qualify myself. And that is so much of what he did all of his life. He did not have more than a high school degree, high school diploma. He never got a degree. And in spite of that, he really challenged himself professionally over the course of his career. He got a great job working for the government, which had great benefits and pay and an excellent retirement. He became a volunteer firefighter, which he took a lot of pride in. He helped people in a mental health. He worked in the same mental health hospital, a psychiatric hospital that I worked in, long before I did. Just always doing things, challenging himself in different ways as he built a career path for himself. He was a teacher at the University of Washington, and he loved to brag about that job because he was like, I'm pretty sure I'm the only person teaching at the University of Washington that doesn't actually have a college degree. Like, take that. You don't even need a degree in college to teach at the college. He was so proud of that job, and his students loved him. After he retired from his job with the state, he got this really fantastic job working for a huge construction company here in Seattle, doing safety for them. And it was the highest paying job he'd ever had. And he was so proud of it that he, like, post-retirement, like, hit this milestone in his career that was like this great title and this great salary and all these things. And he just was super he was so qualified for all of it, but he was qualified because he qualified himself over and over and over again. He never waited for someone else to do it for him, and he never needed anyone else's permission. He just had something to prove, and he kept proving it to himself over and over. And as I was thinking this through and recognizing where I was when he passed away and how I was in the process of qualifying myself and how he always qualified himself, I was like, oh my God, like, we were just so much alike. So much alike. And so people keep telling me that grief is a roller coaster and to buckle up for this ride. And it might be a roller coaster and it might keep being up and down. But right now I'm just feeling like I've gotten to embrace the pieces of my dad that meant a lot to me in the first 37 years of our relationship. I've gotten to release all the bullshit, and I've gotten to see how our similarities have been some of the biggest gifts in my life, because they've been the things that have informed my career, informed the way that I show up, informed the way that I build relationships. And it's so ironic that, like, the same things that tore us apart are actually the same things that made us so much alike. And I'm really grateful for that. So that's how I'm doing with this loss. That's how I'm navigating this. And I know that every relationship with parents, with any parent or caregiver or primary adult in your life, is so different. But I think it helps to share our stories, and I think it helps to talk about it, and it helps to process, and it helps to look at it from different angles and to look at it from, like, a standpoint of, like, I'm really grateful for this and I have peace around this. And also, it's okay if you're still mad or you're still sad or you have regrets, that all of that gets to be okay. So this is just my story, and it's where I'm at, and I'm hoping that it might bring some peace to someone else. I think that we aren't raised to think that it's okay to end a relationship with a parent, and I'm someone who did that, and I didn't set out to do that, but ultimately it's basically what happened when I set a boundary, and it's okay to set a boundary. I don't regret setting that boundary, and for many reasons that I haven't had time to get into on this episode, I know that was the right boundary. I know there would have been an incredible amount of stress and turmoil in my life over the last 10 years if I had not set that boundary. So I know I made the right choice. And so if you are in a similar situation, or if there's anything here that overlaps with things in your life, just trust your gut and know that it's okay to do things differently than the people around you and to do things in unconventional ways. It's okay to take care of yourself and prioritize yourself. And you might not know what you need to do right now, but keep listening inward as you are navigating the hard times in relationships. And if you're grieving the loss of a relationship, give yourself permission to look back on it with a lot of grace, and to look and hold on to and embrace those parts that allow you to feel some gratitude and let some of the bullshit roll off of you. So I hope that's helpful. Thank you for letting me share and process. I appreciate you. I appreciate all the ways that you show up for me when I need it. I love you all so much. I'm so grateful for this community, and thank you so much for being here and listening today. Thank you so much for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. I really, really appreciate you being here, and I hope you learned something new. As always, this conversation will be continued over in our free private Facebook group. You can join that group by going to shamelessmom.com/Facebook to connect with other shameless moms just like you. Additionally, if this is your first time listening to the show, know that we are here every Monday and Wednesday with a brand new episode. So make sure you subscribe. Go to whatever podcast app you use and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. episode. You can do that directly if you go to shamelessmom.com/review. That will put you in Apple Podcasts, where you can click on the subscribe button, and you can also leave a review. If you scroll down a little bit, you can leave a 5-star review. You can write a few sentences letting me know what you thought about the show. If you let me know how the show has impacted you in becoming a more shameless mom, you might be nominated to be Shameless Mom of the Week. Also, please share this episode. My goal is to help more mamas be more shameless every damn day. So please do share this episode. You can take a screenshot of the episode on your phone and then share it out on social media. Tag me at the Shameless Mom Academy on Facebook or Instagram. I'm quick to reply and eager to send you Facebook love and love to be connected to all of you. So again, thank you for being here. I can't wait to be back here again with you in just a couple days. And until then, no matter what you do today, make sure you do it shamelessly.
Everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear?
Gone.
Poof.
Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of there, life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking It.